Welcome to Consensus, a podcast from Census Technologies.
What's going on, y'all? It's Daniel Litwin, the voice of B2B, and welcome to another episode of the Consensus Podcast, brought to you by Census Technologies. It's a pleasure being here in the hot seat, talking shop on sterile processing, best practices, stories from departments, you name it, new technologies and trends that are shaping how SPDs operate and operate more efficiently. You're learning all about it here on our podcast. We're here to shed a light on the hacks that help make SPD operations efficient all the time, every time, right? And we're going to be shining a light on those small changes that make a big impact in sterile processing. Think of them as the backstage hacks that keep the show running. And so for today, we're welcoming Amy Webb. She's manager of sterile processing at Mercy Gilbert Medical Center in Arizona for her insights. All of that and more on today's episode. So whether you're a manager, you're a frontline tech, you're an admin for a hospital system, or you just want to learn what makes SPD tick because you're curious, well, this is the episode. So thank you again to Amy. Let's welcome her for real. Amy Webb, thank you for joining us on the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I recently, you know, started getting into the networking field, and I feel like this is just another way to kickstart that phase of my life or phase Absolutely. Of my career, I guess. So,
but Amy, can you recap for our audience here? You know, give us an elevator pitch on your journey to managing SPD at Mercy Gilbert. How did you get into sterile processing in the first place? And what has kept you motivated to stay in that field, considering it can be rather demanding, you know, can be tough to manage what you got to manage with, you know, given resources, all that good stuff. So go ahead and dig in. What is your journey to where you're at now?
You know, Daniel, I got into SPD and stayed into SPD basically for the same reason. So I got into SPD by chance because it's a very unknown field and not many people, especially when I started, were jumping into SPD as their step in the door to healthcare. So I actually started as a nursing aide. I worked in several different hospitals throughout the Valley. I also worked in long-term care. And I actually just stumbled into a surgery center and started working in their pre-op department and recovery department as a CNA. And one day they needed help in the OR. And I said, oh, I'll give it a go. And I started very small and then just found that I actually loved surgery. I loved the OR. I loved the feeling of the camaraderie. I loved how each person was pivotal in the process of providing good patient care to the surgical patients. So, I had no training. I had no education at that time in SPD, and I learned everything hands-on on the job. And then actually the system that I worked for pushed for us to get certified. So then I went through a formal program and got my certification. And I worked in that surgery center for 10 years and then moved to Mercy Gilbert and started as the lead tech on day shift and worked my way up to manager. And here I am. You know, I stay because, like I said, it's such an unknown field and people kind of just stumble into it. There's not a lot of information out there readily available for high school students, new to college students about sterile processing that really I feel like makes them want to get into it. And so I feel very passionate about bringing up that generation and showing them that this is a great career and you don't have to just stumble into it, you know, by chance. And we should want to do this.
I love that. You were gravitating towards a high impact field and you sure found one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm glad that with this podcast, we're able to shed more of a light on SPDs because they're often the unsung heroes of the OR.
Yes.
And you are a prime example of someone who has built their career in this department and learned all the tips and tricks that really go to show this is how these departments save ORs money, time, save patient lives. I mean, you name it. So. Yes. Yeah. What I want to now highlight is all those hacks and all those tips and tricks you've learned over the years. And just before we mention that, just recap for us some of the different departments that you've you've worked in, right? So like what different layers of SPD have you built your experience on that will help inform your hacks and tips and tricks today?
Yeah. So, I mean, when I worked at the outpatient surgery center, we did obviously, you know, just strictly outpatient surgery, but it was a multi-specialty hospital or surgery center. I mean, you're talking anything from, you know, cataract surgeries up into total joints. I mean, we covered just about everything. And then moving into Mercy Gilbert, that was a little bit of a more broadened servicing that we cover there. So, you know, we service labor and delivery. We service several dental clinics throughout the area. We service our rehab department. We provide, you know, 24/7 service to the entire hospital, not just the surgical unit. And so I feel like that, you know, does also come with a lot of knowledge that needs to be had as a manager. And just, you know, the public doesn't always know that. They don't always see that it's not just surgery that we cover. It's the entire hospital.
Perfect. Thank you for the context. And so with that breadth of knowledge, Amy, let's go ahead and dig into some of these hacks, right? So I'm sure you've got a ton. I'll start by just asking you to riff through the ones that come to mind, but then maybe we can spend a little time unpacking some of those specific ones and why they're so impactful. So yeah, let's talk through these SPD hacks. What are some of your favorite little shortcuts, routines, tips and tricks, or creative fixes that have made your life in SPD and also your team's life, the whole department's life, a little easier and more effective day to day? What comes to mind?
Yeah, you know, as a manager, I've obviously, you know, also worked, like you said, in the front lines of SPD. And so along the way, I've definitely been able to make changes that I also know are beneficial because I've been in the position as my staff. You know, I've worked in their shoes. I know exactly how they're feeling. So, also working in a hospital is a lot different than an outpatient surgery center. You know, outpatient surgery centers, especially right now, are still doing manual documentation, still, you know, having handwritten count sheets sometimes. And so I've been able to take some of that knowledge and incorporate it into Mercy Gilbert. But at Mercy Gilbert specifically, you know, I have incorporated things such as using the Stryker helmets in our department in Decontam with the, you know, the cover togas that like the total joint doctors would use. We have upgraded to the advanced subscription of SensiTrack, but with that, we have not really key dotted our instruments. I mean, that's obviously a huge project. And so rather than being able to track our peel pack down, you know, with the key dotting, I have incorporated using the location in the name of the instrument. We have actually labeled all of our outside containers, all of our trays have a specific container for each tray. And that I feel like has done numbers in terms of organization. And actually organizing our count sheets in a way that has made it beneficial, not only for the OR, but for the SPD staff to be able to move through quickly. So those are just off the top of my head, some things that I know myself, I have made changes to our department.
Let's start with the container example, because I think this is a perfect one of, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's a pretty simple strategy. Let's get each tray to have its own container.
Yes.
But executing on that means getting the right containers, labeling them correctly, making sure that there's a corresponding tray to each container, that it's always mapped to it, that both are clean, that both are treated the same way. You don't lose sight of them. I mean, so many little nuances. So I'd love to hear from you the methodology of how you implemented a strategic hack like that, because it's in those nuances that I think the strategy really shines. So walk us through like how you organized your team to even get in that headspace of execution.
Yeah, so actually when I started that project, I was still the lead on day shift. I was not yet the manager. And the manager and I worked really closely and were able to come up with that idea together. But, you know, I was working in the department alongside of the staff when we decided to make that change. Definitely, we had some pushback at first, but it allowed us to be able to stay organized and, you know, to kind of visualize what our needs were, what we were heavy on. But as far as implementing it, it was really difficult. I mean, we had to spend hours just not only making sure that we had enough containers and making sure that we, you know, had the right sizing and, but also, you know, we had containers that we wanted to have certain different color lids for. It was a big project. But in the end, just by showing the staff that it was going to help us stay more organized, they were willing to, you know, to be okay with the change and willing to help with the change. And I mean, it was a huge project. And at the time, you know, we did not have SenseTrack. We had a different tracking system. So then we got SenseTrack, and guess what? We had to relabel everything after that, which I'm
a good problem to have, I suppose.
It is, you yes, know. Yeah. Yes. And I'm but still yeah, I feel you. That, you know, I've actually now I've included my leads now in that, you know, to relabel our containers with SenseTrack labels. And so, yeah, it just, I think with any change or any type of hack, you know, we basically have to prove to the staff that it's going to be beneficial for them as well.
A good strategy is only as good as the people behind it that can execute on it consistently. And I think that's really the magic sauce here that I'd love to get your methodological approach on here for the rest of our SPD listeners is how do you as a manager rally your team around some of these big changes? Because they may understand that it's in their best interest. They may understand it's going to benefit the department. They may not even see it as that big of a change, but building the habits of every day when we do this, we have to do it in this sequential order. We have to make sure we cover our bases here, here, here. How do you work with your team to help condition them in that direction, especially with a new process with a lot of new layers? What's your approach there? For not just building buy-in, but helping maintain that consistency?
You know, managing is not rocket science when it comes to SPD. I feel like anyone that works in SPD wants one thing, and they just want something that's going to make their job easier, right? Not necessarily, you know, in terms of like cutting corners, because obviously we don't want to do that. We have processes in place for a reason. But anything outside of that that will make their job easier, more enjoyable, if possible. You know, I feel like that automatically results in buy-in, right? But it's the things that they don't understand will make their life easier. And maybe at first seem like it's more daunting than what they're already doing. So my approach to anything is just communication, allowing like an open floor kind of conversation where my staff can voice their opinions, voice their concerns. I obviously don't implement anything without doing that first so that I can see where the trouble is going to lie and see, you know, who's going to be the person that pushes back the most, who's going to be the person that's going to be most on board and most helpful. And kind of allowing like the psychological safety of it all to give them the opportunity to speak up and not feel that they're going to be chastised or, you know, not taken seriously. That is very important to me, is making sure that my staff feel that they're being heard, feel that they're being taken seriously, because a lot of times in management, we're removed from our departments and we don't always get to see every single thing that's happening every single day. And I think sometimes that leads to staff not feeling like we know where they're coming from, or, you know, like we don't walk in their shoes. Even if I, you know, I did have, you know, 12 plus years experience working in SPD before I became a manager, they don't always know that or appreciate that. And so I think just giving them a voice is huge, and not coming in and, you know, enforcing a change or enforcing a new process without fully hearing everybody's concerns and addressing them as I can.
Yes. Now, obviously, you know, SPD is so mission critical that it's not like it's the department that is, you know, meant to be like a Montessori school of creative ideas. It's like there's some basics we got to hit on, and we got to hit on them consistently. So, you know, being vertically organized, chain of command, respecting the standards you set, that's obviously key. But to that end, you know, respecting standards will happen, you know, more frequently and with more good faith when your team is engaged in improving these strategies, seeing themselves as part of the shared mission, like you said. So, you know, you mentioned that's important to you, but I'm curious, what does that look like in practice? Like, how do you actually encourage your team to share their own hacks or their ideas? And have you seen that lead to small adjustments from your team, you know, where they propose a change and it made a significant impact?
Yeah, you know, you hear in you know, motivational speaking, the why. Everybody wants to know the why. Everybody wants you to find your why. And like, as corny as that sounds, it is so true for SPD, because I can implement a practice tomorrow, but if it doesn't align with the processes set by Amy or AORN or, you know, other standards that we follow, it really can't go anywhere. And so when my staff have ideas or changes they want to make, the first thing we always look at is, does it align with why we're doing what we're doing? Does it follow the processes, the most basic processes of SPD, the most basic standards and regulations? And I think by empowering them to also know those things, because when you go to a program for SPD, you hear about AMI guidelines, and not AMI web guidelines, AMI guidelines, yeah. Right? Yeah. And so you hear about them, but you don't really get any like tactical learning with it. Like there's no book laying around in an SPD programs classroom. You know, they don't typically have that. So that, number one, is always something that I try to revert back to, is just making sure that we're following the proper guidelines. And if I cannot implement something, it is usually because it does not follow a guideline or regulation that we're required to follow. And that seems to most of the time deflect or, you know, deter people from maybe feeling like I'm just not making the change because I don't want to, you know. Mm-hmm. But there have been some small things over time, like I mentioned earlier, incorporating a fully covered toga with a helmet into our Deacon TM. That was one of the biggest changes that I made last year that led to the biggest, I guess, like boost in morale, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
You know, Deacon TM is a hot, sweaty area, especially in Arizona. Our temperatures outside are up to 120 degrees sometimes. And, you know, the hospital can't always keep up with that type of heat. So our Deacon TM suffers, and that change, you know, hearing them day to day, day in and day out, that they were feeling sweaty and hot and disgusting. That change, that change led to one of the biggest boosts in morale I think I've ever seen, actually.
I gotta love that. And I think that's what's, you know, so powerful about some of these hacks, is that they're not just there to make the department more efficient on its basic stated goals, but it just makes for a stronger department anyways. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it's just a more united, a more engaged department. So that's really, that's really powerful to hear.
Yep.
Now, of course, not every hack has to be low tech. You mentioned, you know, y'all recently started, or you recently upgraded to the current version of SensiTrack, which is awesome. Obviously, sometimes the tools we use every day is what makes the biggest difference. And this itself becomes a hack or a tip and a trick.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, in your experience, how you see technology like SensiTrack help simplify your work in SPD and complement or work in tandem with some of these other tips and tricks you've discovered over the years.
Yeah. So I recently, I took over, I'm managing a second hospital as well within the Dignity company. It's a smaller hospital and they are still doing manual documentation. So, you know, I had not worked in a place that had done manual documentation in a long time. And so moving back to that, I appreciate so much how SensaTrack and, you know, other tracking systems as well, I'm sure, just make it, it takes such a load off of our shoulders and allows us to focus on the details and not really have to worry about the paperwork and like I said, like the manual tracking of it. You take that for granted, really, once you work in SPD for a long time and work in a place that has that system set up. You take for granted how much it does to improve your overall job and your, and the way that you do your job.
Yeah.
You know, at Dignity, we also use SensaTrack, to monitor our productivity. So in other systems that I worked for, productivity for SPD was based on the OR and what the OR did. And that's not always accurate because, like I said before, you know, we service the entire hospital. We don't just service the OR. So this year we were able to integrate our SensaTrack volume into our timekeeping system. And by assigning each tray a complexity level, our timekeeping system now will pull our data from day to day, you know, daily based off of complexity levels. And that is how our productivity is actually tracked. So, I mean, that's just another small change that actually has led to such a huge impact in, you know, me being able to have more staff and us just being overall more, you know, more appreciated of and have a bigger eye on what we're actually doing, you know, than just what the OR is doing. So
absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to connect the dots between these various tips and tricks and hone it in on a specific story. You've mentioned a few now. So if we're, you know, just going to tread similar ground, feel free to just reiterate some of your points, but could you share a story from one of these hacks? Whether it's something that you implemented like your tray and container, trick, you know, or hack there, or whether it was downstream from a tool like SensaTrack, you know, having to do with tray visibility, fewer missteps, documentation compliance, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Can you share a story where one of these strategic day-to-day operational changes helped prevent an issue or saved time in a big way, right? Let's hone in on those operational impacts here just to contextualize some of your strategies around a story.
Yeah, so recently, we implemented the use of the quality feedback module within SensaTrack, which is a great tool to track areas of improvement, not only just within SPD, but, you know, within the OR as well. So we started utilizing that to track our case card compliance. You know, there's several guidelines around the way instruments come to SPD after they've been used, you know, starting with point of use treatment on the field, and just the way that they're transported. And so we recently started utilizing that heavily in our department to be able to offer some feedback to the OR, you know, adding another tool to visualize, okay, you know, when we're not receiving case cards that are compliant, it leads to costly repairs. It is leading to us not being able to turn over instruments in a timely fashion, and just, you know, leading to an overall unorganized decontam, which decontam should be one of the most organized places, you know, in the entire department, to be honest with you. So by utilizing that tool and starting to kind of track how case cards were coming to us and offering feedback to the OR as to what they should look like, you know, setting a standard. And then also myself working with my director, who is very, he's very appreciative of SPD. He understands that what our job entails. And then also the OR manager, you know, working with them and just setting a standard for the OR to follow that will ultimately lead to less repairs and a quicker turnover for them.
All right, Amy, I think we're good to start to wrap up. What we're going to do now is look ahead a little bit. Okay. I want to get your thoughts on looking to the future. What's an area in SPD where you'd love to see more tips, tricks, and hacks from the larger community, right? An area that maybe needs a little bit more support, a little bit more innovation? Where should the industry be knocking its head together on, right?
So I actually was just talking about this at CTEC when I spoke at CTEC. Nice. I was talking about GPS tracking for instrument trays. You know, my facility is small, but I know, I mean, I have this problem, so I can only imagine that other facility, bigger facilities have this problem where, you know, a tray shows in our system that it's supposed to be where it is, where it lives, and it's not, and it's been picked up, moved, you know, not placed back where it belonged. And so I have seen this where a certain vendor is using a small GPS tracker inside of their tray, and it connects to an app that shows them in real time exactly where that tray is located. These trackers are able to be sterilized. They are able to go through the wash. They are just, it's such a great innovation that I feel like SensaTrack or, you know, any other company could really benefit from having something like that where the users have, you know, you'd have to set up some type of field, obviously, like, you know, in the sterile storage area, but just being able to track them exactly to where they are, that would solve probably 50% of our problems at Mercy Gilbert. And And like I said, we're so small that I know bigger facilities are having that problem. But just, yeah, I guess a better visualization of where our trays are at. Mm-hmm. And
I like that. We need to get innovating on some RFID technology.
That's it. Yes.
Love it. I mean, yeah, look, these tools move around a lot. These trays and containers move around a lot. Getting them back to where they need to be cleaned, ready, prepped, and, you know, launched for the next surgery. Like, that's key. So I love it. And then, you know, to wrap up with some advice now, too. What advice would you give to other SPD professionals who want to make their day-to-day more manageable? Where should they start with innovating around current processes? Because the last thing you want to do is bring an innovative mindset to something that, you know, it's kind of like if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? SPD being so mission critical. What's your advice for balancing, you know, this is a worthy concern, but solving it might... you know, be actually a huge ripple in the operation versus this is a great place to start to build momentum, you know, solve that problem and carry it forward to the next one. What's your advice there?
Collaborating and involving everybody that needs to be involved, even down to like infection prevention, because we don't know it all. You know, I don't know everything there is to know about running a hospital. And so just giving everyone the opportunity to speak up and giving everyone the opportunity to contribute to the change is, that's how I manage my department. And I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying that, you know, my management style is the best style, but I feel that it has really given my team what they need to be successful by allowing them to collaborate and allowing them to have their own voice. So. And truthfully, not a lot of people know about SPD. You know, it's a very unknown area and an unknown service. And so the more we can give the people on the front lines a voice, I think the more well-known we'll become.
All right, Amy. Well, I think that does it for today's episode. In some ways, we're only scratching the surface of useful SPD tips and tricks. So as you continue to put SensaTrack to work and find some new hacks that improve your workflows, we'll need to bring you back for a follow-up. Until then, folks, thank you for tuning in today. Again, we've been chatting with Amy Webb, Manager of Sterile Processing at Mercy Gilbert Medical Center in Arizona. Amy, if folks want to get in touch, learn a little bit from you, maybe spark some discussion, you know, SPD Pro to SPD Pro, how can they get in touch?
So you can find me on LinkedIn, first time on LinkedIn, or my email. It's amy.webb@commonspirit.org if you you want to reach out and, yeah, connect. I love to connect with people in the industry.
Awesome. And, hey, look out for clips of this podcast.
Yes. You
know, on Amy's LinkedIn.
Yes.
We're building up that LinkedIn presence. I like to see it.
I love it.
Thank you so much for your insights today. Again, everyone, this episode is such a great reminder that while SPD is full of big responsibilities, it's often those small tricks, those small changes that can have the most outsized impact. So Amy, thank you for giving us some stories and tips and tricks to ground all of that. It's been a pleasure talking today and looking forward to future episodes.
Thank you, Daniel. And thank you, everybody at Census, for having me. I enjoyed my time here.
And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Consensus. To our listeners, if you're looking for ways to make your own department run smoother, if you want to explore how solutions like CensiTrack can be your own SPD hack to help you save time, stay compliant, et cetera, right? Or focus more on what matters most, patient safety, right? Make sure you reach out to us at census.com. But also, if you're just looking for more SPD insights, hot takes, and strategies, make sure you're checking out the Consensus podcast. You can find that on our website, census.com, or subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And again, that's Census, CENSIS.com. All right, folks, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you on the next episode of the podcast. I'm Daniel Litwin, the voice of B2B, and this has been another episode of Consensus.